Down with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is about a minute and a half past the hour as we begin the broadcast week that is the final week of the month of July 2015. Yes, this program is live. It's almost always live. Because, you know, I'm Bob Kincaid, the guy who doesn't do vacations. It is the 27th day of July 2015. That means it's, it's Monday. And Mondays are ever so special around here. Yes, they are. As we begin each and every week with the celebration of the damn stupidity that is the right wing in this country, the evangelizers and proselytizers and all the various and sundry hooligans who inhabit the body politic are, well, it's like a combination of demonic possession and the crabs. Right. Big thanks going out to our new subscriber. Our new subscriber, Sharon, as well as to old friends Jan and Jerry, and to Kim in helping out with fundraising for this week. That makes things a little, it gets us off to a better start than we would be at zero, and thank you very kindly, one and all. So, that means, well, let's see, on the week, we have $855 to go. So that's where we stand. Thank you very kindly to Sharon and to Jan and Jerry and to Kim. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a tremendous help. That's how we keep all of this going. Of course, if you want to help out in the evening's fundraising, you know where to go. Head on RadioNetwork.com under the tab Contribute, and therein you will find the PayPal interface. If you prefer not to go with PayPal, well, you can always use the U.S. Postal Service. Just send me a note so I can include it in the total and give Boss Man Wayne the heads up that he won't have to reach with quite such trepidation with his spider-proof gloves into the gaping maw of the Horn Echo Chamber when he goes to check the mail. The mailing address, of course, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And that's checks and money orders made payable to the Horn and not to Bob Kincaid, because I don't see them. They go into the, and they, Boss Man Wayne does all that, and then boom, bill paying. And we've got a nice, tidy handful of bills to deal with as we try to close out July. We'll try to wipe out June's bills. Fingers crossed, right? Yeah. So it is in fact Moran Monday on the Horn, and we've got a nice little ingathering of folks in the chat room this evening. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Mo Liberal. Good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators Sparky and Texas Betsy. And the bell is rung, and we are off and running. I saw a remark in the chat room a minute ago. I'm ready for fall. See, I'm not. Because as hot and miserable as summer can be, I know, and I try to keep a sense of perspective and balance on this. I know that for every degree of heat we have in summer, there's going to be an absence thereof in February. And I don't know about you, but I find, even though it's the shortest month of the year, I find February damn difficult to get through. It's the shortest month of the year, and somehow, philosophically, spiritually, whatever, the longest. At least in this neck of the woods. Maybe. Now, I know there are places where February is perfectly lovely. The Bay Area, for instance, or maybe South Texas. February is not particularly terrible in Florida or on the Gulf Coast, no. But here, it's hell. And, well, you add in the fun of climate change, and it gets even more interesting. It's almost like with the end of July, August is like the beginning of the end, isn't it? The first day of autumn comes in late September, so we've actually got a rock-solid 2 months and 3 weeks of summer left, but the tomatoes are in. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, the tomatoes are in. I got a couple of fresh tomatoes from a neighbor today, and, God, they're beautiful. He's got his patch kind of fenced off and close to the house so that the deer don't get near it. Rats with antlers is what they are. Rats with antlers. The only people who think deer are sweet and pretty and charming are people who don't live with them. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Jeremy says. He says, I was here before the bell, damn it. Java mobile timeout. Sons of bumpuses. Yeah, well, we'll write you in on the, this is just the Rush transcript. When we get the final in, we'll make sure you're there in the chat room before the bell. Thank you, Jeremy. No, those tomatoes are wonderful. And so I'm going to grab a loaf of sourdough bread and, might be time to think about some Benton's bacon. A little lettuce, a little mayo. Ooh-wee! Yeah, the good stuff. So, Moran Monday. Where to begin? Because we have, as is ever the case, a rich abundance of Morans. And that's no joke. I mean, an abundance of Morans. Where do we begin? How about we pick up where we left off? I know. People probably get tired of the gunfire filibobsters and the freedom protecting and right. But what I saw over the weekend sort of made me, squeal with Moran Monday delight, or howl with stunned amazement. I guess I can't remember which Alphabet Soup network it was, but I saw it and I immediately tweeted it. Law enforcement officials baffled as to motive for Lafayette shootings. At which point there was a calm down, Bob. Quit it, Bob. You know, one of those from the boss. And I was just left there making little forest animal noises and sounding like the living embodiment of Yosemite Sam. Really? No, I did that, and I saw it again today. I did. The colonel of the Louisiana State Police said, we just don't understand why it is he would do such a thing as this, yeah. Which, and I don't like it when I talk to the television, because it means I'm turning into an old crank. But there I was, screaming at the TV set, like some octogenarian Fox viewer. Really? Really? You can't find a motive? As a friend of mine who lives down in Louisiana noted, well, she said, add in to the racist and the racism and the homophobia and everything else. Add in a soupçon of misogyny, too. She said, I don't think it's any mistake that he chose the movie he chose. And, of course, he had written about it previously. Yet, curiously, the Sherlocks of the Louisiana State Police are still baffled as to why it happened. It was a movie, Trainwreck, and it's a comedy, but about a strong woman who is, and it's kind of a role reversal thing, where the strong woman is afraid of commitment. You know, it takes a lot of the cliches and stereotypes we usually apply to men and puts them in the body of the woman so that she doesn't want to get married and settle down, and she finds it icky that her one-night-stand fling guy calls her the second, right? Because, of course, in the traditional world, women who have a fling are supposed to sit at home staring intently at the telephone. But the killer Hauser declared this to be a financially failing filth farm country, or some such. And so there was that. And that was coupled with an attempt to revive, and it's a futile attempt, mind you. And I would say at this point in time, it's probably even a fool's errand. A futile attempt to revive the gun dialogue in this country. That's over. Gun dialogue. No, it really is. They won, we lost. So, like I said Friday, everybody has to stand at that godforsaken roulette wheel and just watch that white marble go round and round and round until we find out if it lands on a slot marked with the town or the name of one of us or somebody that we love, and then, you know, we get Second Amendmented. For freedom! Wolverines! Right? But we've got a new adjective or a new adverb in play, and that is that there are people out there now saying, "Why can't we have common sense regulations about seriously mentally ill people having firearms?" Seriously. We can't have a discussion about giving firearms to the, or allowing people, the mentally ill, to have firearms, because you know what? Just because you're mentally ill don't mean that you don't have Second Amendment rights. It's only you're seriously mentally ill. And by that we mean very, very seriously here at the National Rifle Association. We mean very seriously mentally ill, like, you know, walk. I mean, not your mentally ill people who walk around talking to the sky and listening to the messages coming into them through the fillings in their teeth. I mean,
That don't necessarily mean you're so mentally ill you don't need a freedom protector and that the Second Amendment is not for you. We mean you're seriously mentally ill. Like, you know, people who... Well, dang it, we can't figure out exactly who would be so seriously mentally ill. They don't deserve a gun, but seriously mentally ill. Because, you see, freedom protecting Mr. Hauser. Well, he was mentally ill. His own family pursued involuntary commitment proceedings against him. And won. And he was involuntarily committed for a time. But not long enough, or where enough, to prevent him from walking into a pawn shop, because what a great place to buy a gun, after all, a pawn shop. Not enough to keep him from walking into a pawn shop down in that bastion of freedom, Talabama, and purchasing his freedom protector. The very same freedom protector that he took to the movie theaters with him. And, of course, the usual suspects have come out with that most engaging of arguments of late, crying out that what this means is that people need to be allowed to take guns to movie theaters. No, really. Yeah, speaking of the seriously, seriously, mentally ill, seriously. Oh, really? And they say this, these defenders of freedom, most of whom are terrified white people of a certain age and a certain predilection, as in, you know, listening to Alex Jones. They think the remedy to a guy who took a gun to a movie theater is to take more guns to movie theaters. Even though the guy took the gun to the movie theater and killed people with the gun that he took to the movie theater. Boggles the mind. Beggars the imagination. It makes no more sense now. When they were talking that foolishness after the massacre in the Aurora, Colorado movie theater. But that doesn't matter. They get to make it anyway, and people treat them as somehow seriously engaged in the discussion. Because, of course, because anything that says, nothing says serious discussion like a person who's armed to the teeth. And so, you know, a Morian nomination generally on that topic. But that brings us to Wes Brewer. Wes Brewer is a producer at Chicken Noodle News. Wes Brewer also happens to have once lived down the street from John Russell Hauser. Rusty, I think they called him. Rusty. They didn't call him Rush Hauser. They called him Rusty. Just like they used to call Rush Limbaugh, Rusty Limbaugh. But it doesn't have that hero of the right wing same sound that, you know, Rush does. Wes Brewer, though, lived down the street from John Russell Hauser. And the pull quote from this story is, we do remember things like him flying a Confederate flag outside of his house or a "Don't Tread on Me" flag. He may have had some sort of fringe ideologies. Oh, Wes, buddy, can we talk? There are millions of Republicans, millions of teabaggers, millions of birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, tens of millions perhaps, who fly the Confederate flag and that urine-colored snake flag. Wes, buddy, Moran, if I can call you that, and I think by your own words I can, those aren't fringe ideologies. Those are the mainstream ideologies of the modern conservative movement. Yes. Yes, they are. Because it's what they got left. Right? The Republican Party and its various and sundry affiliates, you know, the teabaggers and the John Birchers and the Klan. They have been reduced to a noisy plurality and a regional ingathering of terrified white freaks with guns. With guns. Lots and lots of guns. Now, when I was a kid growing up in Alabama, after I got to go see Jaws and that one harrowing scene that made, and of course there are scenes in movies now that they make for children that are more harrowing than that one harrowing scene in Jaws. I wasn't afraid to go back into the water because I was pretty sure there weren't any sharks out at the swimming pool that was maintained by the Baptist church that I attended. No. They were just... I mean, the worst you really had to worry about was, you know, you just stayed away from the kid who made the pool turn yellow every now and then. I mean, granted, maybe down on the Redneck Riviera, down in lower Alabama, you thought about it some, but that's about it. But this, I'm seriously considering whether I go into another movie theater ever again. And that's tough for me, because I like movies. I like the big screen experience. In fact, given the cost associated with movie going, that's the standard we use. Is it big screen worthy? Is this something you really want to see on the big screen? Or is it something that will be every bit as good on a smaller screen? You know, say, your tablet or your computer monitor. Or maybe, you know, something even, you know, big, you know, big screen TV. In other words, is the magnificence and scope of the film enhanced by the big screen experience? Or is it something that would be special enough that it would make a really fun evening for, say, taking your grandkids to the movie theater? The Minions movie comes to mind. I would love nothing more than to take my grandchildren to see the Minions movie, if for no other reason than to hear the youngest one say, "Bananas!" I'm cured. I love that big screen experience. I'm all done, I think. Because until we get guns out of the hands of the freedom protectors, who in one instant are lawful gun owners, and when the lights go down and the trailers start running, suddenly decides to shoot some mouthy women at a movie about a mouthy woman, and thereby becomes an awful gun owner. Why? Why would you do it? You know, exigencies like this, sometimes they spawn new industries. And we know the technology exists. Single-person viewing. I mean, I'm told that in most of the cities of the United States, there are certain places you can go and you sit in a little booth and you put your money in a little machine and a movie plays for you. And sometimes there are holes in the wall where they can pass you, you know, they can pass you snacks and things, you know, Raisinets and Junior Mints and whatnot. Maybe that's where we're going. I don't know. Or maybe we're just going the hell home. Somewhere out there, there's a movie theater executive going, "Oh no, really? I mean, if we put in like metal detectors and shit, will you please?" Come back. But I mean, my God, if they put in metal detectors, think of that. You've already got to talk to your banker to see if you can afford a Coke and a thing of popcorn. What's it going to cost for the metal detectors? I don't know. For now, Irish Dave pointing out, coming to a theater near you, a concession stand where you can rent Kevlar and shit. And again, we've thought more about Aurora, Colorado than we have any other incidents in this context.
But there's another one out there that the Jack in Shreveport just reminded me of. And that was the fact that, and it was down in Florida, where an ex-cop, and if we can't trust an ex-cop to protect the movie going public with his freedom protector, who can we? Well, an ex-cop, a septuagenarian, maybe, I'm not sure. Wasn't he 72 or so? An ex-cop sitting in a movie theater in Florida blew away a moviegoer in front of him for texting with the phone, you know, because the light from the phone, and it was totally cheating him out of his $11. I mean, there was a gun in that movie theater, just in case there was a crazy person there. Only the crazy person turned out to be the person with the gun. And, of course, the crazy person wasn't seriously mentally ill. He was just mentally ill enough to execute someone summarily for texting on their phone. I don't see any way out of this. Do you? As Jack in Shreveport says, well, that wouldn't have happened if no gun was there. Precisely. Jack also points out, a person must be adjudicated by a judge to be mentally ill enough to deny him a gun permit. I don't think a doctor can make that call on his own. Hauser's family was wealthy, so maybe that explains how he got out of some of his legal problems. Somewhere I saw that I think we've got a little typographical trouble here. Somewhere I saw that two police cars when the movie parking while police officers were exchanging paperwork, so that would explain how the police got there so fast. Oh, I saw that two police cars were in the movie parking lot, movie theater parking lot. Had they not, the shooter probably would have gotten away. Because remember, he had his escape planned. That's why he was parked right outside the exit to the movie theater door. It's not like he had some buddies that he was going to help sneak into the movie theater. And if indeed there is a backlash about going to the movie theater, then that's going to have an impact on the kind of movies that get made. Do you think Avatar would have been as special effects rich as it was if it was just going straight to the small screen? How about the Star Wars franchise or the reboot of Star Wars or Star Trek? See? I wonder how people like James Cameron or Ridley Scott, I wonder how they feel about all of this. I wonder if they have any suggestions for a remedy. Because there is a remedy. Get rid of all the handguns. And then put in the metal detectors. Then you might be able to go to the movies and feel relatively safe, except for the bankruptcy that you'll experience just trying to, you know, if you decide to go for the extra big-ass popcorn. I mean, there's other possibilities. How about, because see, every time one of these lawful gun owners goes on one of these things, I'm always reminded that the one thing, yeah, they may have a concealed carry permit. This guy didn't, because he flunked it, because he couldn't have a concealed carry permit because he had been adjudged mentally ill. But he could still buy a gun. Because freedom. Wolverines. But when any one of these lawful gun owners goes awful on us, they may say, well, you know, he had a concealed carry permit. Okay, that just means that maybe the most cursory of background checks has been performed. We don't, you know, it's interesting that there are, we don't even have national consensus. There are still states that do not require mental health agencies to report involuntary commitments to a federal database for background search purposes. So we don't even agree on that, because there are still states that think that that's an intrusion upon our personal freedom. So we're just not sure. But just having a concealed carry permit only means that you have met some de minimis standard if, in fact, a background check was run at all. But look at the rise of open carry. Think about it. How long? Unless it's already happened, and it may very well have. How long? Until the open carry activists in Texas, probably, start open carrying to the movie theater. How many days did it take before the open carry goobers began standing outside recruiting centers in this country? One? And how many days after that did it take until some freedom protector protected freedom against some concrete? One? Lancaster, Ohio. So how long before the same goobers that were walking into Chili's and Starbucks start walking into your local Octoplex? No need to fear here. We're just upstanding citizens, open carrying, so we can watch a movie in peace and freedom. Hoo-ah! Mark Wolverines! Yeah, I know, but it's more in Monday. Now, come on, Bob. When this country said we couldn't talk about guns after Sandy Hook, we decided that killing babies was less important than guns. You're wasting your breath. And I am. I don't allow right-wingers on this program. But from time to time, I almost think it would be worthwhile to have a conversation with one, because that is a question I'd like to ask. Are you happy? You guys won. Are you happy? We've decided it's more important in America for people to, for paranoid white people to have lots of guns than it is for a little 6-year-old girl to get to become a 7-year-old girl. You happy? Now, I don't want to debate the merits of it. The merits are undebatable. But I would like to know if they're happy. And I would like to know that, I mean, really, I'd like to know from a right-winger, if it's your 6-year-old who doesn't get to become a 7-year-old because John Russell Hauser was able to buy a gun at a goddamn pawn shop, I want to know, are you going to be okay with that?
will you be the one out there saying, well, you know, we need to have a discussion about seriously mentally ill people having access to firearms? It's unimaginable.
But you know what? There's probably not going to be any movie theater backlash. Because maybe the Freedom Protectors will go on to something besides movie theaters. Churches, nah, that's been done. Schools, nope, done. Malls, nope, done.
So, you know, something else.
But we'll forget. Because that's the thing about that white little marble spinning round and round and round and round the roulette wheel. It has a hypnotizing quality to it. And pretty soon, that marble begins to look like life itself. The roulette wheel begins to feel like reality. When in fact, there's ever so much more. Marty is still among the brave. Marty says, forget the popcorn. Saw Southpaw Saturday night. One box of Raisinets, one box of Red Vines, one 20-ounce bottle of water, $13. The bottle of water itself was nearly $5. Yeah, see, Southpaw is said to be a very good film, but that's one I'd stay home for. Wait till it comes out on video. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Hey, Bob. So how long before going to the movies in the USA becomes like getting on a plane? Metal detector scan, full body pat down, bag search, and having to walk through one of those body scanners. You forgot the part where we take our shoes off, Robert. And it's not a question of how long before going to a movie theater becomes that. How long before going to church becomes that? How long before going out for a hamburger becomes that? How long before going to the grocery store becomes that? Because these are all things that we will sacrifice our personal convenience and shorten our lives over so as not to have them really shortened. So a bunch of paranoid white people of a certain age can keep stockpiling weapons for when the government decides to put its jackbooted boot jacks down on our neck and we have to fight back in the second glorious revolution, which maybe this time we'll win. I mean, we got a flag ready to go and everything. Yeah, I agree, Carol. Carol says, I'm so fucking tired of the phrase, it's not yet time to have a national conversation about fill in the blank, because talk is goddamn cheap. Oh, and by the way, a little advice coming from Hooterville for you, Marty. When going to a movie, you need a woman with a big purse. Well, that's out the door pretty soon, too, Carol, because we're going to have to search the purses, you know, because the women folk are liable to just any day now, they're going to start matching up, trying to catch up with the demographics of the men folk and shooting up movie theaters and grocery stores and churches and stuff. Or maybe they'll carry the Freedom Protector into the movie theater for their hubby or their boyfriend. Artis with an email. Two new technologies seem to be present at mass shootings. These technologies are those of big pharma and guns. Not all of the time, but much of the time, males under 30 seem to do the shooting. Seems as if shooters are males all of the time, but I'm not sure. Suspect it's partially a chemical phenomenon. Well, it's not always. The mass killings, the mass woundings, the mass shootings are most of the time perpetrated by white males. The age bracket seems to be expanding. But, well, on the accidental side, women are catching up. The mommy in Idaho whose toddler shot her from her concealed carry purse, her freedom protecting purse. The Republican politician in what? Michigan, who shot herself right through the heart with her freedom protecting bra. And then there was the woman in Florida who just went for a casual coffee at the local Starbucks, dropped her purse on the floor and shot her buddy in the leg. Firearms know no gender. Our buddy Robert in Morgantown. I argue that when the Second Amendment says arms, it refers to what was arms at that time, a single-shot pistol or rifle. That had to have each individual shot loaded. The Founding Fathers wouldn't look at what we have today as a firearm, more likely as weapons of mass destruction. Times have changed so much that this part of the Constitution is as outdated as counting Negroes as two-thirds of a human being. That last line, ooh, that's got some resonance to it. I'm not so sure about the front end of your analysis. Now, Uncle Nino, Tony Scalia, now he's a constitutional originalist. If it wasn't available at the time of the writing of the Constitution, then Uncle Nino says that it ain't really constitutional. Except when he wants it to be. And that's why when he was speaking al fresco ex cathedra, Al Dante, at some law school, he said he would be tempted to rule that personal grenade launchers were legal under the Second Amendment simply because they may be carried by one person. None of that bag of gunpowder, bag of shot, patches, caps, primer, none of that. It's all ends-based analysis anyway. Hey, right, Carol. Women are less angry than men, just more clumsy with the firearms. Precisely. Well, I'll burn in hell for that one, too, I'm sure, and probably get called names. Misogynist! Yeah, Marty's got a problem. It was his cousin, his uncle, and him. No big purse among three guys. You need a European-style messenger bag, Marty. Marty says, how long before walking out of one's front door becomes that? What Robert was talking about. With the shoes and the body scanner. Well, how long before walking out your front door becomes like something a SWAT team does, where each person goes out the door in staggered, and you serpentine, Sheldon, serpentine until you get to the car. Jack says, a Gannett article in my local paper was an interview with people outside the movie theater the night of the shooting. One quote was about how God will take care of all of them. The last sentence in the article was a quote by another person. This would have never happened if we all carried. I guess some on the right figure that God will take care of the dead and maybe take care of the wounded's medical bills. Because, you can see so well in a darkened movie theater. Apparently, he sat up toward the back of the movie theater and shot downhill, you know, field of fire, strategy, tactics. Want to control the high ground, right? And then he planned in the course of the chaos, he was just going to slip out the door and go away. Maybe go do it at the, because see, he cased the movie theater in Lafayette, he cased the movie theater in St. Charles, and he cased the movie theater in Baton Rouge. How about that? Nine minutes before the hour, and I have to include this in More In Monday. Double checked it. It came from Mediaite, but I double checked it just the same. Make sure it wasn't like, you know, Mediaite.tv or something instead of the real Mediaite. In the midst of everything else going on, I guess we kind of missed that there was an explosion on July 18th at the National Institute of Standards and Technology near D.C. Mm-hmm. Well, after when you have an explosion at a government agency, there's still enough of that overarching, intruding, jackboot on our freedom-loving necks federal government to actually investigate why something blew up at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. First hockey puck warning of the evening. Duct tape 2. And so they did investigate. Yeah. Congress has ordered an investigation as well because of what the first investigation found. Captain Paul Starks of the Montgomery County, Maryland Police Department, he said, at this point, we're not identifying anyone who may be involved. First, we have to look at all the circumstances and determine if what occurred rises to a criminal violation. Kind of like the Louisiana State Police down there, valiantly searching for a motive for Rusty Hauser. Because see, what it turns out is that there were residues after the explosion that point to an almost inescapable conclusion, science-wise. Namely, and to wit, that somebody had a meth lab going at in a spare room at the National Institutes of Standards and Technology. You know, this is getting to be like a goddamn zombie apocalypse. They're everywhere. They get in through it. It's like living in coal country and dealing with coal dust. It doesn't matter how sealed up your house is, you're going to have coal dust on everything if you live near an operation. It just gets in. And the meth tweakers just get in. Or maybe this wasn't, well, I mean, it did blow up, so that kind of points toward tweakers and not your competent Breaking Bad kind of meth operation. Mm-hmm. Representing Lamar Smith is... Oh, how do you not laugh when you read this? Representing Lamar Smith is chairman of the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Yeah, the guy who's on the take from the petroleum industry and denies climate change. There's no client change there. He's been a client of the petroleum industry for quite some time. He's fired a letter off to the Secretary of Commerce. As chairman of the committee, because he's from Texas, mind you, as chairman of the committee, with jurisdiction over NIST, I am troubled by the allegations that such dangerous and illicit activity went undetected at a federal research facility. It is essential that we determine exactly where the breakdown in protocol occurred and whether similar activities could be ongoing at other federal facilities. Because it was a breakdown of protocol. You know, sometimes, you know, protocol. You know, there's some meth tweakers that you bow to, others you can shake their hands. Protocol. It was in the special projects building of NIST. Oh, and that is a special project, isn't it? Yes. And they recovered chemicals and items pointing to the manufacturer of methamphetamine. The guard, and this is just one of those little gems that gets tucked away down in the bottom of a news story. The guard who was injured has been released from the hospital and has resigned from his post. Now, on the other hand, there's a spokeswoman at the NIST named Gail Porter, and she said the project that was taking place in the special projects room dealt with an experiment on combustion. But when the test had ended, their materials and supplies were supposed to be cleared out while they were preparing for another project. Bumpuses. But at least, unlike the freedom protectors who go from lawful gun owner to awful gun owner, the people who blew up the NIST Special Projects Lab, well, they didn't mean to blow it up because they wanted to wind up with a finished project that was, you know, marketable. Because capitalism. Ain't More in Mondays fun? Just a downright blast. See what it did there? Yeah, I know. You appreciate the humor. Got to thinking about something, though. Every now and then it's fun to be reminded of how prescient the prophet Bill Hicks was. Peace be upon him. And this is one of those moments. What I was saying a few minutes ago about the roulette wheel. Yeah. Put me in mind of this. Don't know where you are, Bill, or where you aren't. But wherever, you live on.
You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it. There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoy it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you.
Legacy in the LZ in the place. Gone international with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We get in wide. Text ball gets the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. Telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it, it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's a war against evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poorest by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not bombing Tim McVeigh's hometown? You can say what you want. Propaganda television, but all bombing. It's terrorism. Chase down all our enemies. We can bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces. But we can't bomb it into peace. Oh, we may even find the solutions to hunger. Even really knows why. They sold lies in the vision of fear. We yelled and cried, no one listened for years. We're like, who put us there? And who's responsible? Well, there's no debating. Cause if they ask me, I'll say it's big corporations. World Trade Organization, trilateral action, international sanctions. Satan seems like it'll be an endless price tag of what's tremendous. And most disturbingly, the death toll is so horrendous. So I send this to those that say they defend us. Send us in the heart's way. We should all make a remembrance that this is bigger than terrorism. Blood is blood, is blood in them. Love is true vision. Who will listen? How many songs it takes for you to see? You can bomb the world to pieces. You can't bomb it in the beat.
Can chase down all our enemies. Run, run. Bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces. But we can't bomb it into peace. Love to the peaceful, yeah.
both of those things seemed profoundly apropos at the moment. Michael Franti and Spearhead, Bomb the World, and before that, Just a Ride, a clip from The Prophet, Bill Hicks, peace be upon him. It is Moran Monday on the horn, and I forgot all the Moran Monday shtick. I'm sorry. My bad. And I also neglected to mention at the end of the filibobster that the lines are open. They kind of always are, but I try to get everything off of my chest in the first hour. You know the numbers, right? 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And then, of course, there's the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Named, of course, after the one, the only, the inimitable, the gone but not forgotten, Bill Mr. Stress Miller. And we are an hour and 7 minutes into the program, and we got some fundraising help over the weekend and right before the program. Thus far, nothing happening. But we try to raise $200 every evening, and, nothing's happened so far. But we all remain hopeful. It would be, let's see, what would remain for tonight? $55. $55, and then on the week, $8.55. So, get out there in front of it a little bit. That'd be nice. We barely came in under the wire last week, but for some tremendous, tremendous help. Much obliged. Dadgummit. Try again. While I was looking somewhere else, the stress line rang, and, well, that's what happens when you don't have a producer. So, either line is fine. Jump in. Don't wait until the end of the program, 10 minutes before the program, and then, oh, I gotta say it! Say it now, when there's lots of time for us to converse within. Nice little crowd gathering in the chat room, by the way. Like I mentioned earlier, Anatole and was there, and well, now it's Anatole and Mr. Gibson and Mo Liberal and Sentient Being and Stockton Larry and Waggy and Will from Chicago, all moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie, Sparky, and Betsy. Hey y'all, if you've never been, you ought to jump in. It's a lot of fun, especially not much fun during the hours when we're not live because there really isn't anybody there. But it's a lot of fun during the hours when we are live. It's a zany, madcap, full-on multimedia extravaganza. Just go by headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, and you'll be right there as long as Java cooperates with you. Right. Yeah. I took the call. They hung up. Let's try again. Hold on here. There we go. We got Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. What's happening, Jim?
Oh, just watching the fun and hijinks of this great governor we got. And
It reminds me of the line from The Tempest, Shakespeare. What a piece of work Bobby Jindal is.
What's that?
Never mind. What's up?
Yeah. I did get that little 50 from me.
I did. I figured you were listening. I made sure and mentioned it even. Thank you.
No, Jim. I just turned it on. I mean, I turned it in a little bit late. I did get to see Bernie Sanders last night in the rally out in, it was in, outside of New Orleans in the metro area.
How did being in Louisiana, Stan, how did he draw, Jim?
Huh?
How did he draw? What was the crowd like?
Oh, dude, it was I was going to say 1,500, 1,000, maybe 2,000. I've never been to that venue because it's out in you know, got a blank on the area was, but he, it was packed. It was like 99% full. You know? I mean, there's only like seats on the side that weren't there. You know, that part weren't occupied. And yeah, he did his usual self speech, which is right on. I mean, got me charged up. I got a couple of Bernie shirts in addition to the one, I got from
J.U.
Yeah, that's weird. It was kind of cosmic almost. I almost started to believe in the skies. Because it came Saturday before.
So you were able to wear your you're able to wear your Bernie shirt to the Bernie rally.
Exactly. I was,
That is kind of cosmic.
Yeah. And I picked up a Bernie shirt from my youngest brother, about the only like-minded or similar-minded person in my so-called fascistic family. It's just a shame to see that. So I had my Bernie shirt on, and I'm getting ready to go. My sister was over. I was over at my mother's, and my sister was over there. And she kind of had this weird, this look on her face. And I don't know. I kind of said, well, who are you going for? Guess who she's supporting right now?
Piyush? Piyush?
Huh? No, Donald Trump.
Oh, well. Okay. But she's in Louisiana. She's supposed to support the local boy.
I gave up on her a long time. I mean, as far as politically, she's she went to Catholic school. Yeah. I went all through public school, and then desegregation kicked in, and my mother brought my younger brothers and sisters.
You'll get a kick out of hearing this. Will in the chat room provided me with a link from Bloomberg News on that rally. Headline:
yeah.
Bernie Sanders finds warm welcome in Louisiana, a red state. I would say that the "a red state" part was probably superfluous, but you know, copy editing's dead. But here's the fun part. They say 4,500 people were in the crowd.
That's the estimate I heard. But I called up Tom Harpin earlier today because I was talked, and I gave him a report, and I said 1,500 because, you know, maybe, you know, I guess something like good. I didn't know the size.
But the big giggle in that, Jim, is that that's more than Piyush Jindal got when he made his campaign announcement.
I just hope Bernie can pull it off, man, somehow. I'm a little bit both two, 3 years older than you, gonna be another year old in a week and a half or so. I think this is probably this country's last chance. I realize that not only does Bernie have to win the presidency, as far as I'm concerned, he has to almost do an FDR.
It'd be nice if he had a Congress, and that's that's the joker in the 2016 electoral deck, Jim. I'm not trying to depress the vote or depress the voters for that matter, but the House is not going to be any different. John Boehner will still be, unless there's a palace coup that makes, you know, Louis Gohmert the Speaker of the House. John Boehner is going to be the Speaker of the House. The House is going to be controlled by a bunch of just, you know, crazier than sprayed roach Republicans. And the Senate will probably remain in Republican hands as well.
I got to be optimistic. I'm hoping at least they can get the Democrats. And I mean some pseudo-enlightened Democrats as opposed to what generally passes as Democrats. Maybe I'm still on a high from last night's the rally. I mean, I got to kind of believe that. And I don't know why. Because I'm usually pretty, I'm kind of like you. I don't see good, but I don't know. I got a little spark of optimism.
No, I mean, I guess there could be something approaching the miraculous, but that's the problem. It would have to approach the miraculous, Jim.
Oh, dude, I totally understand. It's like, in fact, a week or two ago, I was talking with, you know, Mike, Mr. Malloy, and I kind of bridged this, or he kind of bridged it, and I concurred, or vice versa, about if Bernie gets too popular, you know, they might have to do, you know, JFK Bobby Kennedy, you know? Or, I mean, because they can't...
Slash MLK, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, I mean, maybe you are still just kind of buzzing a little bit off of the thin oxygen there that was in the room last night. But I love this one quote here from his speech. He said, "Our roads are crumbling, our bridges are crumbling. You know about water systems here in Louisiana." And the thing is, I think that was probably a reference to the problems, you know, with fresh drinking water after Katrina and stuff. But then I get up this morning and I start doing my reading, and I run across this story from the Washington Post, and I was like, "Whoo! No, what?" Apparently, Saint Somebody Parish, off to the west of New Orleans, I guess, has a problem in their water system, namely, brain-eating amoebas. Have you heard this story?
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, this is a real Lulu. There's an amoeba out there, and it really does. It eats brains. It's like a zombie amoeba. And this is like the second time. It's showed up in a water system in Louisiana. The Times-Picayune has the coverage.
Everything.
Health officials to answer brain-eating amoeba questions Tuesday in Chalmette. Am I saying that right? Chalmette?
Chalmette.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm you're screwed. Words like that. You got maybe a 1 in 92 chance of getting it right.
Oh, yeah.
So Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals officials are set to meet at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday in Chalmette to provide information and answer questions on the brain-eating amoeba found last week in St. Bernard Parish.
St. Bernard, yeah.
See, I did it again. Up here, he'd be Bernard, okay? There's a community meeting at the Nunez Community College Auditorium. If you tell me it's Nunez, I'm leaving.
I'm not familiar with that.
But St. Bernard Parish, it's important that citizens in St. Bernard Parish have an opportunity to get the facts about the discovery of this dangerous amoeba in their water system. Now, here's the thing. If you drink the water, you're okay. It can't. That amoeba cannot live in your digestive tract, as compared to other amoebas, which can and cause things like amoebic dysentery. This amoeba can't. This amoeba, however, if you get the water in your nose, it goes up your nose, into your sinuses, and eats your brain.
Oh, I've heard about that before, yeah, somewhere.
A 4-year-old boy died in August 2013. But the thing is, this is after, in response to the 4-year-old dying in 2013, the Louisiana legislature miraculously passed a bill that required, you know, those job-killing regulations that set minimum disinfectant levels for public water systems and more regularly reviewed those levels and provide an annual report to the legislature's health committee. And Governor Piyush Jindal even signed the bill into law a little over a year ago. But it's still there. And here's and I posted it to my Facebook page and on Twitter. Here's the kicker though, Jim. The story I had was from the Washington Post. And way down at the bottom of the story
There was a note that said, scientists say the amoeba could be moving northward as a result of climate change.
Yeah. They're coming up to visit you in West Virginia, and they're taking flight.
No, they can't live in the coal waste poisons. See, coal's good for Appalachia.
Yeah, well, I knew there was a good aspect of corn, too. I just figured you hadn't found it yet, so you found one good thing for corn.
I'm speculating. For all I know, that stuff. For all I know, they may go together like cheese and crackers.
No, it's. I mean, it can. When you look at the shape of the world and things, you know, I mean, I don't know if we got planets got 30, 40 years. It's just like they're talking about the climate change. And I think the scientists are giving longer time than we have. I see happening is things starting to change exponentially instead of 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 30, you know, that good. That's what I see happen. I mean, I just thought that myself. You know, as far as like climate change and, with like the Arctic and Antarctic melting, it's just getting more and more and more, and then you hit that tipping point, and then it just crashes, you know? You think you have X amount of time, but it's...
Consider, now this is the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, has promulgated a list of things to do or not do in order to avoid being infected by brain-eating amoeba. And, you know, even that phrase, brain-eating amoeba, Jim, I mean, that's science fiction stuff. That only happens in places that still exist only in black and white. Okay? I mean, and with monsters from outer space and Klaatu Barada Nikto and robots saying, warning, Will Robinson, brain-eating amoeba. That's where you want to hear the phrase brain-eating amoeba, not in the real world.
I know.
So here's how you avoid getting infected by brain-eating amoeba. First of all, you can't get it by drinking the water. And the reason we call it brain eating amoeba is because its real name is Naegleria fowleri. Now just imagine having to say Naegleria fowleri. And see how long before you just say no, brain-eating amoeba. Louisiana State Health Officer says, families can take simple steps to protect themselves from exposure to this amoeba, the most important being to avoid allowing water to go up your nose while bathing or swimming in a pool. So you go to, and they use a chlorine burn to flush out the Naegleria fowleri, and you hope it works. It causes amoebic meningoencephalitis, and that is almost always fatal. But here's how you don't get it, brain-eating amoeba. Do not allow water to go up your nose or sniff water into your nose when bathing, showering, washing your face, or swimming in small, hard plastic blow-up pools. Okay, that's off the list. Do not jump into or put your head under bathing water, bathtubs, small hard plastic blow-up pools. Walk or lower yourself in. Granted, most of us don't jump into the bathtub, but, well. Do not allow children to play unsupervised with hoses or sprinklers, as they may accidentally squirt water up their nose. Avoid slip and slides or other activities where it is difficult to prevent water going up the nose. Do run bath and shower taps and hoses for 5 minutes before use to flush out the pipes. This is most important the first time you use the tap after the water utility raises the disinfectant level. because, you know, that might hurt you too. Do keep small, hard plastic blow-up pools clean by emptying, scrubbing, and allowing them to dry after each use. Do use only boiled and cooled, distilled, or sterile water for making sinus rinse solutions for neti pots or performing ritual ablutions. And do keep your swimming pool adequately disinfected before and during use. Now, you just heard that list, Jim.
Sure. Correct.
See, I got a problem. And that's this. That's the kind of stuff that we used to say about what we used to call third world countries.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't drink the water.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
it's also a big boom for bottled water companies.
Well, yeah, but beyond that, no, but that's the thing. The United States of America, the country that put a man on the put several men on the moon, and if we'd stayed with the program, maybe we would have eventually put a woman on the moon. The country that gave us the atomic bomb and the peaceful wonders of nuclear power and but we're a third world country now.
I know.
Because we can't keep brain-eating amoeba out of the water supply.
Well, I'm actually basically Bernie kind of touched on that last night.
And by the way, this latest outbreak of brain-eating amoeba, St. Bernard Parish, I mean, you know this better than I do, it's 5 miles outside downtown New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like on the bright side of it, extending the herd, and hopefully the mostly Republicans, I don't know if it is a conservative state or, well, hopefully it's turning blue, but I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, I gotta be pragmatic. That's kind of SOP, unfortunately, for Louisiana. You know, it's like the line from Talking Heads, sound of the gunfire. I'm used to it now, you know. That's why I was impressed by the big turnout. You know, I thought it was maybe 1,000, 2,000. Turned out to be 4,000, that was the estimate. And so that makes me feel optimistic. But all the other things going on,
there's something about the phrase brain eating amoebas that takes all the fun out of laissez les bon temps rouler, you know?
Yeah. I agree, and it's probably not a good maybe Bobby and some advertising executives can kind of make that as like some sort of tourist.
Come on down to Louisiana. We got crawfish balls and andouille sausage and gumbo and brain eating amoeba. It's all good here on the Gulf.
Yeah, well, it's just like those commercials about the Gulf, you know, with the, how great, the BP commercials about how great everything is since the spill. You know, I don't know.
It's better in Louisiana. No, Mississippi.
Yeah. It's, have a good old time. Yeah, enjoy some brainy. It could be a selling point, you know. You gotta think of it from a marketing point of view. You know, I'm in a Bernie type. I'm trying to think positive.
I understand, and I'm just one great big old nasty buzzkill tonight.
Well, no, that's kind of old news. I've heard about that a while back, kind of. It's just.
Well, that's because it broke. That's because they've. This is like the third straight year there's been a brain-eating amoeba outbreak down in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, like you said, we wouldn't have heard of this 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. You know, like you pointed out with the space program, if we hadn't, with the powers that be, hadn't decided to dumb down America and caused all the wealth. And, yeah, we could have been, in 2001, we could have some halfway decent space program and stuff. You know? But, I guess we're still ahead, but I know there's a lot of other countries that are catching up. You know? But, I guess there was no immediate fight to return on a space program. You know, and everything just boils down to money. So it's everything, you know, profit, where they can't see.
Honest to God, though, Jim, I can almost hear the conversation going on at the New Orleans Chamber of Commerce and Board of Tourism meetings, over lunch. You know, ixnay on the Ainbray eating a amoeba a. Jesus! At least they wanted to come and do disaster tourism after Katrina. But, because, I mean, really, you know, you're down there, you're New Orleans, you know, you've had yourself a really kick-ass muffaletta and everything, and then you go down and behave like a tourist on Bourbon Street and everything, and you get up the next morning, and you're hungover as shit. And you just go and splash some water on your face, trying to sober up, trying to make the hangover go away, and boom, brain-eating amoeba.
Yeah. Well, it's disaster tourism. you can have a shirt that says, "I survived New Orleans brain-eating amoeba," you know, something like that. It doesn't really surprise me, because I heard about the story, like you said, that's the third or fourth time it's happened, and I'm not sure if that brain even beat us, because the temperature's risen just a little bit, because people don't think about it, because, you know, like the little climate change, how that affects the environment, but certain plants, like the Georgia peach, that grows in Georgia because of the climate. If you raise the temperature a couple of degrees, they don't grow as well or as fast, and then eventually they won't grow.
Right. Well, I was watching an Al Jazeera report about, and it was kind of strange to see Al Jazeera doing a puff piece on how awesome GMO foods are, but, you know, mighty and mysterious are the ways of Monsanto. And they were talking. Right. They were talking about how there's a disease, and I can't remember the name of it now, which ruins orange crops. And apparently, this disease is devastating the Florida orange groves already. And so the genetic biologists are hard at work trying to inject a gene from, you know, from an ocelot's pancreas into an orange so that it'll resist the orange blight. And it was all, and they went around to, you know, the woman on the street and, "Hi, do you have kids yet? Well, would you eat this orange? Looks like a good orange. What if I told you it was genetically modified with a gene from an ocelot's pancreas?" "I don't know." "Well, does it smell like an orange?" "Sure does." "Does it taste like one?" "You know it." "No, it wasn't really an ocelot's pancreas. It was from some other citrus fruit, I think." But the point was there. The genetically modified food is perfectly fine, you weirdos.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe, but I'm suspicious of just by who's pushing it. That makes me suspicious of it. You know, I'm a big fan of Monsanto's corporations, because, I mean, the bottom line is not your well-being. It's only your well-being that they can get more money out of you one way. I mean, profit is the only thing really, is, you know. So I'm suspicious that if they took the polio vaccine, if they would have come up with it, if they were going to cure that now, it would be an ongoing treatment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if maybe that's this is age. I remember when AIDS came out, it was like really devastating. From what I understand now, it's manageable if you catch any time. But it's like an ongoing treatment, and I don't know anything about if there is like a magic bullet to get rid of it. But it seems like now they've got it's just an ongoing treatment, so they can just kind of get more money out of you because capitalism.
Right. Exactly.
So, all right, well, I'll let somebody else get through.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks for the Bernie rally report. And listen, don't snort the water.
I'm glad you called me because it was about to freebase.
About to freebase some hydro?
Yeah. And feel the burn. Remember, feel the burn. Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. All right, Jim, have a good evening.
All right.
Bye now. Yeah, something about the brain eating amoeba. Devin says, brain eating amoeba? I thought that was Spirochetus T. rumpicus. Wow, my Latin's really off. No, that's Nigleria fowleri. Sounds like some sort of foreign movie star. But no, I was immediately reminded of this.
To the best vacation spot on Earth.
The Gulf!
It doesn't matter which of our great states folks visit. Mississippi,
Alabama, Louisiana,
or Florida, they're gonna love it.
Shaul, your Alabama hospitality is incredible.
Thanks, Karen.
Love your Mississippi outdoors.
I vote for your Florida beaches, Dawn.
Phil, this Louisiana seafood is delicious.
With a side of brain-eating amoeba.
We're having such a great year on the Gulf, we've decided to put aside our rival.
Now is the perfect time to visit any one of our states.
The beaches and waters couldn't be more beautiful.
Take a boat ride, go fishing, or
get brain-eating amoeba. God.
Just lay in the sun.
We've got coastline to explore and wildlife to photograph.
And brain-eating amoeba.
And there's world-class dining with our world-famous seafood.
And brain-eating amoeba.
So for a great vacation this year, come to the Gulf.
It's all fabulous, but I'd give Florida the edge.
Right after Mississippi.
You mean Alabama. Say Louisiana, where there's no dessert.
But there are brain-eating amoeba.
This invitation is brought to you by BP and all of us who call the Gulf home.
You ever wonder if maybe something happened with the BP Horizon disaster that maybe stirred up some... Okay, so it wasn't a Balrog. It was brain-eating amoeba instead. God almighty. Let's go back to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hi.
Hi, this is Kenneth.
Hey, Kenneth, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Just going crazy listening to all these crazy right-wingers, like Huckabee, this stupid thing he said over the weekend or whatever.
Yeah, oh, you mean Barack Obama's marching Israel to the ovens?
Yes. Ah! Insane. He, what was it, back in 2008, he advocated for dealing with Iran instead of bombing them. So, what changed between then, He's not president.
The check cleared.
But how you been, Bob?
Pretty good. Muddling along. The weekend's over with, and I achieved full Moran saturation over the weekend, so that means I'm, just rocking and ready to go come Monday evening.
Yeah, good to hear you. Was it a couple weeks back when you were off the air, and I didn't know what to do with myself for those couple hours. I usually work, I put you on the loudspeaker and I work outside, listen to you. But, I was, had to find some other progressive to listen to. Real quick, I just wanted to mention, I'm not just, a flower grower or anything. My background, I started in Virginia, moved to Louisiana, went to college up in New Jersey. So I've been all up and down the East Coast. I know New Jersey a little bit, but mostly the East Coast and then down south. And listening to Jim talk, man, he sounds so much like a diver friend of mine, because I went to Louisiana to do commercial diving, and I used to work on the oil rig. That's a tall thing, so I had the naive thought that I could go out there and maybe, you know, keep some stuff from spilling or something, you know, just, you know, that naive coming out of college, you know. But, you know, so I'm seeing the oil industry from the inside and all kinds of stuff, and, you know, Jim really reminds me of a diver friend that I worked with, and it's just, you know, I know that area so well. I used to sell, after I got out of diving, I sold stainless steel pipe all over the coast there. So I've been all up to Alabama, all the way over to Texas, you know, gone out of all the different ports, all the way down to Port Arthur in Texas, you know, all the way over to Dolphin, Alabama. And,
you know, I know Dolphin Island, you know, Fort Gaines, across from Fort Morgan. Yep, I know it.
Yeah, I even delivered a delivery to Port Christian just a couple months before we moved over here, and then 6 months later was gone in the hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I know that area. You know, it was like my second home. I only lived there 8 years, but it grows on you. You know, I loved it. And I know how backwards it can be, too. There were still dry counties and all kinds of, it was
Oh,
weird.
Look, I mean, I have an abiding love for the Gulf Coast region. I mean, I don't just like it. I love it.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff is really conflicting for me. And, you know, tragic, too. Because that BP Horizon disaster really did churn up a lot of filth.
Oh, man.
And I wouldn't have been surprised if there was a Balrog involved.
Yeah, and it seems like they could—they knew how they were going to have to plug it. They could at least put something over to catch a lot of it, but they just didn't want to, because they knew if they caught it, then they'd be measured more. You know, the more measured, then the more they could get sued for, and you know how big the fine was going to be.
Right.
Not like anybody's going to go to jail, but you know, just more money off their shareholders. Shit.
Yet, you know, you're told that, you know, the Gulf has completely rebounded. And look, you know, there's some places where the shrimp's safe to eat. There's some places where the shrimp don't have eight eyes. But
definitely limit my seafood.
Well, and you're in a place, for heaven's sakes, where you would think that seafood would be okay.
Well, I'm worried now with Fukushima. I mean, Fukushima.
Well, you're right. That's
what is it, 4 years now?
Yeah, and
four freaking years.
Well, there was a story a couple of weeks ago where it was quietly announced that the Japanese government was providing financial aid, to help people in Alaska clean Fukushima filth off their beaches.
But we're getting it here. We're getting a lot of debris washing up on the mostly the northern islands, but it comes all the way down to the south islands too.
Yeah, some folks may have forgotten that you're in Hawaii, Ken. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the big island of Hawaii, down in what they call Puna, the Hilo area of the big island of Hawaii. But this PPP stuff is driving me crazy too, because it's just like, it's full steam. They had the first vote, and they voted it down. I was like, oh, man, wow. And then...
Oh, you weren't, you weren't taken in by that, were you?
Not really. I was like, this is really kind of too quick, you know? And then, what was it, 24 hours later, they voted and said, no, we're going to go ahead and have this.
Yeah, well, they'll have it because the money wants it. And what the money wants, the money gets. Even if the money is so stupid, you know, the money is just pig-eyed greedy, Kent.
Yeah.
And they want things that they really don't want. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but Wall Street took a nosedive in the early hours of being open, because the Chinese stock market absolutely went in the toilet. Took like an 8% dive.
Kind of crazy, ridiculous controls on the Chinese market, and still didn't control it. They were like making institutional investors like could not trade certain amounts and all kinds. You know, they put all these controls on it, and it still didn't slow it down. It's been just tanking for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. As we were reminded on the electric TV box here, China is the world's second largest economy. And yeah, so. because, well, I mean, I'm looking here to find a. Let's see. The S&P 500 was down 12.01. The Dow was down 127.9. And it's all artificial. It's all artificially inflated anyway.
Right, right. Especially with all the QE, so much money pumped into the commodities. But most of it really didn't pump into the commodities here. It pumped into the commodities overseas, and you saw this worldwide bubble on commodities, which has actually slowly started to deflate. It's actually come back down by almost 50% in the last 6 months.
So,
a good website for financial stuff is called Zero Hedge.
Yeah, I've seen those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Zero Hedge is really good on financial stuff and giving you a little leeway and, you know, and you can talk about Bitcoin and, you know, of course, what the American media never talk about is just the Asian banks and the BRICS nations. You know, how they've got together their own bank now. And then
right.
The Asians put together that Asian Development Bank, and everybody's on board. It's like, you know, but because China's the only one really investing around the world without going and bombing them at the same time.
Right, yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
But
I just saw yesterday where Britain is having infrastructure built by China.
Well, sure. They're everywhere. Because in many ways, they're becoming the only game in town. And there's just stuff we can't do anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not setting up for a bubble, I don't know what it is. I mean, this is, and they said the derivatives market is now at over a quadrillion.
Yeah, that would.
The CDOs, the derivative swaps, the fake investments, pretty much. You know, they're bets on bets on bets.
Right, and. So, and everybody's just what, sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop? And when it goes, I don't want to sound like, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but that Ron Paul come around. Hi, I'm Ron Paul, and if everything I think comes true, you're going to be eating your shoe leather real soon, because we're going to have a financial collapse the likes of which you can't imagine. I don't want to be like that, but there's just the.
They're setting it up for that. They are setting it up to crash, because the ones that do the best during the crash is the rich. You know, but they're running a commercial out here on regular TV about the Iran nuclear deal. It's like, stop the Iran nuclear deal, and it's paid for by nuke-free citizens, or Citizens for a Nuke-Free Iran. And, of course, it's a right-wing group or something, you know, but that. There's nobody campaigning in the commercial. It's just stop the Iran deal.
Right. Well, and as John Oliver pointed out, the best line out of that commercial is, "We want a better deal." A better deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, John Boehner could have gotten a better deal, or Ted Cruz. You know, I get the idea that Ernest Moniz and John Kerry probably got the best deal they could get.
Well, a deal at all, the other people won't even talk. So, I mean, how the hell would they get a deal?
Right, by threatening to bomb them. Sure.
Right. Well, sanctions has been on, what, for 50 years? You know, okay, that's really done something, you know? Just worried about everything.
Well, you've got a right to be. I mean,
I may live over here in paradise, but I'm surrounded by idiots on, you know, every side.
Well, that's true, and I don't know. Maybe in your
Japan
maybe,
changing their constitution to allow them to go to war now. You know that, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and there's the whole kerfuffle over that chunk of oceanic waterfront between them and China.
Senkaku Islands.
Right, right.
Or Sendai, whichever, you know, depending on who you want
to ask. Right, exactly. I don't know. If I were you, I might take some of my horticultural area and plant it in corn and beans and squash and potatoes.
What I'm really big into is aquaculture. I grow fish.
Oh, really?
And, yes, I do a lot of tilapia. And my tilapia not. They're almost a foot, just barely under a foot long now, my biggest ones. And I'm branching into more ponds because one thing we have abundant here is rain. So not like anywhere else, we have excess rain. So
well, there are rainforest areas of Hawaii, right?
Yes. Yeah, the windward island or the windward side of almost every island is really wet. You know, the east facing side of the island.
I'm not trying to be creepy or anything. But does the rain make the Geiger counters click?
I don't want to go there. I don't know. They are not reporting it on any news over here. I need to look on like Radcast and a couple things online, but I just don't think about it. You know, it's going to get us either way, you know, or something. So I don't know what to do because I can't really move anywhere, you know. There's nowhere to do anymore. South America's almost out of the picture, you know. Is there any
now that the Bushes own a few hundred thousand or maybe a million or so acres of Bolivia, I mean, you want to be neighbors with the Bushes?
And Uruguay, they own.
Yeah, that's what it is. Uruguay and Bolivia, isn't there? There's a little common border area there.
There's a huge water area. There's probably a water reservoir or something that they're bought, and that's why they bought the land so they get the rights for that water. It's all about natural resources. That's it.
And the thing is, the people with the money can have already figured that out. They know that, as the saying goes, the next wars are not going to be fought over oil. The really big ones are going to be fought over water.
Right. Yeah, I think there was a documentary, World Water Wars. It was really good. I don't know if it's exactly spelled like that. World War or something, but it was really good, really bad. But yeah, I mean, it's all about the privatization, all this PPP and everything, extending patents. It's really about extending our patents across the world and then making so the other countries can't make their own generic drugs. You know, extending the patents and license on the stupid MGM movies and that shit, so nobody can make copies. You know, it's just like,
well, right. I mean, I posted something on my Facebook page earlier today. It was from early July. It was one of Bill Maher's rants, and it was good as far as it went. He was talking about the country of origin labeling on meats in the United States, and I covered that story here on the program. The problem, though, is that he stopped short. He made it a piece about making fun of and criticizing Republicans, and God knows I don't shy away from that here. I mean, that's what Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday and Thorn in the Side Thursday are for in the first place.
Right, but he'll do both, you know.
But if the
Democrat's stupid, he's stupid.
Well, but the problem is he pulled up short, and I suspect it's because of his libertarian leanings on the real reason behind the House vote to repeal the country of origin labeling. Because it isn't, you know, it's not just that some dumbass teabagger in Congress woke up one morning and said, let's get rid of country of origin labeling because freedom, because the free market or whatever, there's free trade stuff behind it. You know, NAFTA and GATT and those international tribunals that nobody knows who's on them and nobody elects them and they're as the Republicans like to say of the Supreme Court, a bunch of black-robed, unelected judges. Well, they really exist, and they exist in the International Trade Forum, Ken. And when we passed our country of origin labeling law, Mexico and Canada took us to that international tribunal and said, "How dare you!"
Mm-hmm.
And so we're facing significant damages and economic backlash from both countries if we don't stop telling people where meat comes from. And that's why the Republicans did it. And but Bill Maher didn't tell the whole story, and that was disingenuous, because the background with all of this, and God knows what's going to come at us out of TPP, is that There's all kinds of different issues where trying to, you know, protect your community somewhere in the United States can wind up being a treaty violation that impairs some godforsaken multinational corporation's right to make a profit, which, and by the way, of course, Ken, their right to make a profit outstrips by far and away your right to eat healthy food, breathe clean air, drink clean water, or not have, I don't know, brain-eating amoebas.
Right. It's trumped environmental rights every time. I don't know how, but somehow the judges just are all bought off, you know, so they all, you know, they go for the business side. It's always business. Business always wins. But, I mean, just, you know, how it's happening over here. Maui, or either Maui or Kauai, passed a bill to get the GMOs, like, not even labeled, but, like, they were spraying, because we are victims over here of the GMO testing. Hawaii is the biggest test ground for GMO products. And Maui, Kauai, and, Molokai are just pure fields of freaking GMOs. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. And, of course, you know, this big thing that they're so much better for the environment. Well, we have to spray twice as much Roundup now. They're, you know, all this stuff is going up. The super weeds are coming out, and then they have to spray more. And it's like, you're forcing genetic evolution on the plant even faster. It's going to happen no matter what. You know, and with any plant, you know, you have bugs that get, you know, get tolerance to different things get sprayed, but organics don't seem to bring tolerances to the bugs. You know, the bugs don't really build up tolerance to the organics the way they do chemicals.
No.
I don't know why, but it's just different.
Well, because it's all part of a symbiotic relationship between living things, I suspect, although that's probably a highly unscientific statement. But look what we've done inside human medicine. How many decades did we just say, here, have an antibiotic? Oh, what, you got the sniffles? Take an antibiotic. And, of course, we created antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria.
And,
because we oversaturate.
And all this. And we really have a lot of bad staph infection over here in Hawaii. Some beaches you don't want to go in. I don't know what it is, but it lives. And I was always taught growing up, oh, salt water is great for wounds. You go in and see. I grew up on, of course, in Virginia on the East Coast, and I'd always go swimming constantly. And I get a cut, I go in, shit, that thing was like healed in a day. And over here, you don't want to go in the water if you got a cut. It's like you get these staph infections. And I've seen them on people's legs, and they lose legs over it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Maybe because of the warmer waters, or
I think so. They had it down in Louisiana too. I knew one person that got it, and he had chunks and holes out of the back of his calves where they had to cut it out. You know, when he had staph infections, it was like oof, just really looked like somebody taking melon ball. You know, the melon ball little hole thing, or a light ice cream, the thing you make the ice cream mat with.
The scooper.
And there were just perfect little round indentions in his leg. It was crazy looking.
Well, I want to take you back to the tilapia a minute, because I had a really I had an interesting tweet from Sandra that reminded me of something. You know, I covered this. I think I covered or tried to cover the Whole Foods story from last week or week before.
Okay.
It turns out that Whole Foods, you know, Whole Paycheck, and you know, Whole Foods is run by this libertarian freak. Whole Foods has contracted with the state of Colorado to provide them cheap labor from their prison population.
Oh my God.
And the reason and what, you know, what made the little bells and whistles go off for Sandra and in turn for me, part of the deal there is that Whole Foods' contract with the prison system in Colorado is for the production of 1.2 million pounds of tilapia per year.
And see, that's what I got to compete with. Me, a small farmer, have to compete with prison labor and mass industrialness.
Yeah, and although farming is nothing to get rich at,
I'm pretty sure that you can't compete against 12 cents an hour.
No, you know what I pay anybody that comes and works on my farm? $12 an hour. Literally. I mean, that's not funny. What is that, 100-to-1 ratio?
Yeah.
Right? You know? 12 cent versus $12 an hour. Jeez. It's either 100 or 1,000% ratio. It's ridiculous.
And you know, there's nothing to stop them. The only thing that could possibly slow Whole Foods down would be some sort of public campaign of people saying, "Well, you know, screw you and your prison fish."
Great. And they just announced we're getting a Whole Foods. Because of our location, we've done without a lot of the big major chains, you know. But now all of a sudden they're finally coming in. You know,
If I were you, maybe I'd try to help people get smartened up about Whole Foods. The story that Sandra sent me comes from Counterpunch. I also saw it over at Alternet. You know, it's there. You can find it. And because I'm guessing maybe folks who live near you might not want to eat prison fish. And that, I mean, I can't imagine the production standards are that high. That's the new normal, Ken. Because here in West Virginia, we've got abandoned coal mines. You knew coal was going to sneak into this conversation somewhere along the way, didn't you? We've got abandoned coal mines where they're raising Arctic char in the water down there.
Mercury-laden water, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean you may be getting messages through the fillings in your teeth before you're out the door after dinner after eating some nice mercury-laden coal mine Arctic char.
Damn.
So, but I wanted to make sure I got that tilapia story along to you because yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. Yeah, and it affects me, especially, like I said, now that stupid Whole Foods is moving here. And they're moving close to us, not even in Hilo, but in a town closer to me even than that. I don't know why the hell they're moving there, because it's a small town. Just to take over. But we're still able to get meat labeled Big Island grown or Hawaiian grown beef. Now, I'm surprised because with that label law, they could sue us now.
Well, I don't know how that works. I think, the problem with the meat labeling thing is that it's a federal law. Now, if some beef producer on the Big Island there simply wants you to know that his beef was raised on the Big Island, and that's just the hand of the free market. Well, maybe that's legal. Or maybe they'll pull a Monsanto on him and sue him out of business.
Well, it's not one manufacturer. It's all the Big Island or all the beef producers over here because all the beef producers over here are grass fed beef. It's not that damn queso shit. None of that pin up lot. Standing in shit while they're eating and feeding them corn crap.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I've got a friend who runs a farm several miles south of me, and she posted on Facebook the other day that she had a very frustrating day at the farmer's market because they charge. They charge what their beef is worth, and it's hormone free, grass fed. None of the nasty stuff. And,
right,
and she, and she
know,
was,
hormone free, you know, it's
and
it's
she was accosted,
mindset.
And she was accosted by some guy at the farmer's market. Said, well, I can go to Kroger's and I can get them twice as thick as that for half the money. And, good. And enjoy the baby's arm that grows out of your head. But you know, for people who've never tasted it, the difference is all, and I don't want to piss off the vegetarians or anything, but the difference is all the difference in the world.
Well, the grass-fed beef, it's harder to cook because it does not have the fat in it. It does not have a marbled fat off.
No,
of
you
it.
Can
so
you can
harder to cook, but it's much leaner beef.
You can screw up a grass fed steak in a hurry.
Yeah, it's definitely harder to cook, but I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
It's just a little learning how to cook, and then once you learn how to cook it, man, it's great.
Now, I don't know, right at the end, if you were to take one of those grass-fed steers and give it the Kobe beef treatment, you know, massages every day and all the sake it could drink, and you know, that marbles them up pretty good real quick. And then you don't feel so good about it maybe when you send them off to their reward, because they're tanked anyway.
Right, and it wasn't corn fed that way either, you know, because the corn changes their whole stomach, and that causes a lot of the infection they're having, and the reason they're giving them so much antibiotics. And
right, well, a lot of people don't know that cattle are not meant to eat corn.
No,
it causes, you know, they've got three stomachs for a reason, and corn is a complete disaster for a cow.
Yeah,
I mean, out in the wild, you will never find a cow. A cow will gladly eat corn stalks. I imagine they probably love them. But to go and just eat, gonna have some corn? No.
I'll tell you what, they love some banana. They'll eat a banana right down to the ground, and you're like, where the hell did my banana go?
and you're not talking about the banana. You're talking about the damn tree.
The tree, a 20-foot-tall banana tree. They'll just start chewing on it. And my friend's farm, he's actually seen the damn cow get on their back legs and stand up and eat some of his avocados.
So I've never heard that. Avocados, really?
Yes. The cows here they're very well fed and they're really tasty.
Oh, I can well imagine.
Grass and fruit fed.
So will they? Well, I mean, being eaters of green things, will they go after other green fibrous plants?
A lot of the stuff. You know, I haven't seen them go after too many of the foliage plants. You know, the stuff that you just grow for a color and stuff like that. You know, because they're just different, you know.
I was thinking more about the stuff you can make brownies out of.
Oh, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would.
And it probably it wouldn't have any impact on them because the psychoactives aren't released by heat or combustion, right?
No, it's very healthy for you to actually eat it virgin like that because, like you were saying, when it goes through a drying process or a heated process, it changes the psychoactives. But if you eat virgin weed, it acts internally on, like, health problems, kidney, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, it really is good for you.
They're starting to
throw a lot more stuff on juicing it.
While I've got you, can I take you to an entirely different place? Because I think that you've got, if you've got a couple of minutes, you've got a level of expertise that might be handy in something that's been troubling my mind for a while. And that is the Sandra Bland case.
Oh, man. Oh, it's sickening. Every day I hear worse and worse stuff that it's just obvious. At first, I even thought that the job was fake to get her to come there. But I think the job was actually legit. It's just that town is so damn racist. Oh, it's so bad.
Well, I mean, we know what happens at the traffic stop and everything. But when they came out with the autopsy results that she had consumed copious amounts of cannabis in the jail...
they force fed it to her. There's no other way.
Well, but I mean,
they choked her to death.
But unless,
if it was dried marijuana, oh my God, you can't really eat dried marijuana the way you can eat fresh marijuana. Just like we were just talking about, I eat fresh buds, and almost all the time because it helps my digestion. I have a bad stomach. And it really helps me regulate my digestion. I actually smoke a lot of times just to help my digestion because I have a really bad stomach. My family has known ulcers, and my sister went into the hospital when she was 16 with ulcers. And I've actually been able to stay out of the hospital all my life just by regulating it with marijuana and the way I eat. So, and I can still eat hot peppers and whatever I want. I have to eat. I can't go with an empty stomach, you know. So
So, okay, so let's walk through this real quick. One, if she was smoking it there in the jail, wouldn't you kind of expect there to be a sort of Colombian sauna effect in the cell?
Can I just say fucking A? Yes. I mean, it's not like it's, it is very smelly, you know. I love the smell. It smells good. It's very potent. You couldn't smoke it in a small area like that without it getting everywhere, you know. It just, you know. It's,
okay, secondarily.
Of hiding a little bit of the scent, you know, by taking, you know, toilet paper and stuff and, there's, you know,
the dryer sheet in the paper towel tube.
Oh, you already know that one. Okay, good.
Oh, I invented that. I invented that in college. Are you kidding? I'm the first guy who ever did that. No, not really.
Bounce or Downy or, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, different strokes for different smokes.
Right. But she wouldn't have access to a dryer sheet. She might have access to a toilet paper thing, but it still smelled pretty damn strong.
Maybe she was blowing it into the garbage bag. maybe it was sort of like primitive vaping or something. No, this really, no. You know, we probably shouldn't even be smartasses about this, Ken, because it's so damn horrifying.
I know. I'm sorry. But, it really does piss me off because it not on top of just an innocent life. Then they want to disparage marijuana on top of that, you know, and it's just a diversion of argument, you know. Let's just throw the damn blame on her and marijuana.
Well, okay, Jack in Shreveport has a question, Ken. Could she have eaten her stash during the traffic stop and, you know, in order to keep from getting busted with it, and then have it show up in her system like they said? But I mean, the cannabinoids are not going to show up in your hair or your blood or your urine from eating dried pot, are they?
Not that fast. Your hair would have to grow. You know, it's like only going to grow but so much over 12 hours or so. Your hair collects so many things. You know, all types of drugs get collected into the hair. But I don't know what kind of time frame it takes, you know. And that's what this whole thing with the drug testing market has been such a boon for the damn, you know, insurance and all that. You know, it's just a whole market that's come up, and it really is geared towards marijuana because all the chemical drugs are out of your system within 3 days.
Well, let's see.
Stay around a little longer, but most chemical drugs are gone in 3 days.
Right, well, psilocybin, LSD, mescaline, peyote, what have you. Those are
natural drugs.
Those are undetectable at all. Opiates will show up, 3 days?
Yeah, it's not very long at all.
Booze, you know, 24 hours, right?
Yeah, booze is gone quick.
But you can get rid of a person off their job for something they did 28 days ago if it's cannabinoid.
3 months. I've known people that have tested high, or they're tested, you know, positive, that had not smoked, not been around anybody that had smoked in 3 months. But they, you know, it stays in your fat cell, so they were a little bit, they weren't obese, but they were chubby. And they didn't exercise enough, and it just stayed in their system, because they were a chronic smoker, and they stopped. You know, and so it just collects in your fat cells. But all that says is it's there to protect you.
Well, okay, so time out. Sandra Bland. Let's say she sparks up a number day before the stop. How can you tell if that was day before the stop or 2 days after, 2 days after she was incarcerated?
You cannot. There is no testing to date. That's why this is bull. You know, and that's why I say that, you know, I hate to say it, but they're trying to disparage marijuana at the same time as they're disparaging her.
Well, this is 80-year-old, terror tactics. This is the Negroes are uncontrollable when they get on the reefer madness.
Well, you got to think of where the marijuana law started too, in Texas. You know, and it was a thing to stop the Mexicans and the Negroes. And it was like they're coming across the border and they're bringing their marijuana with them. It's like what the and the actual first drug law in the world was against the Chinese in California, because of the opium.
Right. Yeah. I'm aware of that.
You know, that's right. All drug laws are racist. You know, and to this date, I still, you know, cannot see any other thing but authoritarian or racist reasoning behind the drug laws.
Well, it seems that way.
Right.
But I don't. Randy in PA says, I'm not sure, but even drinking hemp milk can cause you to test drug positive.
Probably not. Hemp milk, so it has no THC. So, and what they're testing for is THC, not really the CBDs or any of that other stuff. There's CBDs, CBNs. See, you know, there's so many different compounds. That's why it's so good for you. And, do you ever drink hemp milk? It is so good. I love hemp milk. We get it over here, but it's just expensive because, well, it's expensive anywhere in America because it's imported from Canada.
Well, I saw a graphic earlier today showing that 1 acre of industrial hemp can replace like 4,000 trees for pulp paper making purposes. You have to be suspicious of these memes that you see online because people play, you know, I mean, the internet is full of lies, all lies. But I suspect there's some truth in that, Ken. And why, I mean, if you're Weyerhaeuser or Georgia-Pacific or any of these outfits, why wouldn't you be out banging the doors of Congress down saying, because all that pulp tree growing has got to be more expensive than just growing an acre, you know, a few acres of weeds. I mean, people forget that industrial hemp was a humongous cash crop in this country in the 19th century.
Right. For a long time, I mean, all the way up to World War II, you know, grow hemp for victory, you know. You've seen the video, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, they used it for all kinds of sail material, all kinds of ropes and everything, you know. And, you know, they're getting ready to do in Alabama GMO eucalyptus trees all over, I think it's Alabama and Mississippi, and when they could do this hemp.
Oh, that's gonna be just great, I mean, because... because the kudzu worked out so well.
Well, the eucalyptus changes the soil chemistry, you know, and it, not to mention just the eucalyptus itself, but, and then it's going to be GMO eucalyptus. It's like, oh, great.
Right. And by the way, Ron in Canada just pointed out, of course, poppy seeds, like poppy seed muffins, poppy seed bagels, that kind of thing. They always warn you on a drug test to let them know up front if you've had those, because those can show up as opiates.
Right.
But
that's really good for you too.
But that's different from how the various substances inside cannabis metabolize, because as you said, they are testing specifically for tetrahydrocannabinol, right?
Right. Yeah, I have not heard where they're testing for any of the CBNs or CBDs or any of that yet. And it's weird. I just learned that there's a lot of places where it may be, you know, of course, weed's illegal, but you can actually get the CBD oil. So, like, some places where there's no medical or no anything, you can actually buy the CBD and the CBD oils.
Well, I heard something the other day about some sort of a hemp-based spray that you just squirt out, that people are squirting under their tongues, and they say it just makes them feel... awesome.
Well, I don't know about that one, but I know there's a German, it's either German or, no, it's Britain, a British place called GW Pharmaceuticals to come out with something called Sativex, and they're in the process of getting FDA licensing for it, too. But it's a one-to-one, one THC to one CBD sublingual spray that you spray under the tongue. Now, that's for pure medical, and I don't think that's going to be getting you much of a buzz. So whatever you're talking about must be something different.
Yeah, I'm not talking to, the people I heard it from, it didn't make them high or anything. It just perked them up.
Huh.
So I don't know. But this, I mean, I was actually thinking about you the other day when the whole marijuana thing came out relative to Sandra Bland. And I thought, I bet Ken would know. I mean, this is.
I've been so itching to call. I've been just so busy. And I'm just like, I can't call and tell. Man, all this damn shit's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's like, damn it.
Well, and in this case, it's just it's just 200 proof of new. It's just garbage. I mean, it's.
Well, remember they tried to disparage the victim. The asshole cop was Devin Wilson and the
Michael Brown. Yeah.
Michael Brown. They disparaged him saying the same shit. You know, and this whole thing where there was something just yesterday or the day before where somebody got pulled out of a car or something because they had marijuana. No, I mean, I'm sorry, but the case in New York, what gives the cop the right? Okay, the guy may have sold a cigarette, even if he did sell a cigarette illegal, what gives him the right to put a chokehold on him and physically put him in custody? I mean, if it's a ticketed offense, what gives the cop the right to go from I'm writing you a ticket to I'm fucking putting you in handcuffs?
Right.
It's all just his authority.
Right. That's the same, although it didn't result in death, that's the same result as the same question as the story last week out of, Brooklyn? Where the guy was at the counter and the cops stormed in on him and just beat the shit out of him because they suspected him of stealing a slice of pizza, and they beat out of him, and they held him in jail for like 10 days.
How is that offense even something you get beat up for?
Right.
I mean, these offenses are not something that you warrant physical violence at all. So when that physical violence happens, shouldn't the cop just automatically be reprimanded? I don't get it. I mean, how do you go from a ticket offense, a ticketing offense, to just being in a chokehold?
Well, I hate to say this because I'm generally, like most of the Horn Family Commune congregation, I'm generally pro-labor. But this is one of those places where having union representation works to the detriment of civil society because you would think, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly, the cop should just be reprimanded out of hand. But the cop has a union that will sit there and go all the way to the ground for him to protect his right to beat the hell out of innocent citizens. I mean, when you wind up with Supreme Court cases that center on the issue and the number of things, if we were to actually go through the number of things that can be done to an innocent citizen by the police under the general rubric of officer safety, you would be horrified, Ken, okay? And every time one of these is declared from the bench of the Supreme Court, there have been reams upon reams upon reams of paper expended in writing amicus curiae briefs for the court from, you know, the International Fraternal Order of Police and various police unions saying, you know, we can't have our brave, heroic police officers dying in the line of duty because a woman wouldn't put her cigarette out. That cigarette posed an imminent danger to the officer. She was forcing him to breathe secondhand smoke. So I imagine, you know, probably in the next couple of years we'll have a Supreme Court case where the rats on the court, Ken, will declare that a cop can murder your ass for blowing smoke in his face. Yeah.
Because even if she didn't signal, you know, and you know they pulled her over for the different signal, even if she didn't put her cigarette out, still, I don't see where that means you can pull her out of the car.
No, it's right.
And that goes to our white privilege. I mean, I'm
sure it does. And what happened? And I think it was our buddy Roger up in Oregon who said, you know, it's what happens out of the camera's view.
Yeah.
That makes this all go sideways.
Well, it's not really edited; it's just out of the view.
Yeah, they tried editing it the first time through, but I mean, don't think for a minute that the police officer doesn't know what the viewing angle scope is of that dash cam, and knows exactly how far to go to get out of its sight.
For sure. Yeah. I should know. I worked DOD security. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I got the job. I had long hair, I had a goatee, and I got a job working for DOD. That stands for Department of Defense. But I worked at these multi-million-dollar buildings doing security at night, and my job was to watch cameras learned to walk security. And you could move the cameras to wherever the hell you want to move the cameras. And if your partner needs a little space, you can move the camera away from something. So I know how security guards and all these suckers work.
Right.
You know, I've seen the dirtiest of dirty. I worked in the oil industry. I worked in the security industry. I've seen these little bastards. They are dirty, you know. And, man, talk about racist. We used to have a white security guy that came from UNO, University of New Orleans campus security. He'd come because we were actually under the affiliated of the college, but it was these totally Department of Defense buildings that was like, it was all for the internet. It was as the internet was coming up. And so we knew way before anybody else was getting spied on that, we knew that's what we were building. We were building spy buildings right there in New Orleans. And it was nuts. It was sick. You know, that's why I've worked for nasty people, and that's why I had to get away from all that shit and come over here and, like, free my karma. You know, ugh, I feel dirty.
But you do, but you're clean now, right?
Yeah, that's why I don't work for a corporation. I work for myself. You know, I try not to buy as many corporation products and just, ugh, just stay away from that shit. You know, that's what we got to do is just not support them. It's so hard for everybody to understand that, but, you know, they are killing us.
Yeah, they are. Well, Ken, it has been great talking to you. I always enjoy our conversations, and I appreciate the perspective and the expertise that you bring. Because
just my perspective. I don't know about expertise. But,
well, no, I mean there are places where you have expertise, and I mean, look at the door you opened by simply mentioning your tilapia. And the next thing you know, it's 1.2 million pounds being produced by prison labor in the land of the free, right?
Mm.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you, I'm not saying I don't care, but I don't care how many white politicians talk about we need prison reform. If a prison is generating 1.2 million pounds of fish, at, you know, I don't know, what does tilapia go for at wholesale?
I really don't even know. I don't sell
but,
it yet.
Okay, yeah.
Myself and
so, you know,
just
the whole
my stuff in order.
Right.
Know,
so, but
sure
you know, this is
and,
this has got to be, you know, this. I mean, and never mind what it goes for wholesale. What's it go for retail at whole paycheck? That's some serious Jed Clampett walking around money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know the markup's going to be like probably about 400 to 500%, you know. And that's what it usually is on a lot of those items and stuff.
So why aren't the Republicans talking about the invasion of the free market? I mean, what about the American small tilapia farm?
It's one of their private prisons that's going to be doing it. So it is free market. They're loving it.
Yeah, well, and as
prison thing is really scary.
And as Lottie noted in the chat room just a moment ago, prison labor is a libertarian wet dream.
Yeah.
That's the America the way they want it. Us working for them for next to nothing. Hey, Ken, you have yourself a good afternoon.
That's how we can compete with the 78 cents an hour that Vietnam's going to be paying. We'll have to all be in prison making 12 cents an hour.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's how, you know, it's opposite of what it should be. So whenever they say, you know, free trade, it's slave trade. You know, no child left behind means all child's left behind. You know, it's whatever it says, it's opposite.
Pretty much.
Bizarro world. You have a good one, Bob.
All right, take it easy, Ken. Good talking to
aloha.
You.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye. I think the aloha was, or the bye was redundant to the aloha. That's our buddy Ken calling from the Big Island. We are only 30 minutes away from the end of this Moran Monday. 30 minutes to go in the program. Still need $55 to finish this evening's fundraising. 5:30 at 10, 10 at 5:30. Do it however we wish, but it's nice not to get in the hole. It really is. Because getting in the hole works on the hole in my gut. Dang it, Ron, where'd you go? What is this, call and hang up on Bob night? Next thing you know, I'm going to open the door and there's going to be a burning brown paper bag and I'm going to stomp on a bunch of burning poo. Honest to God, the first one of you that calls and asks if I have Prince Albert in a can is in trouble. I know where you are. All right, let's see if this is Ron. Better be Ron. Is that Ron?
I think it's Ron.
I think it is, too, and you sound magnificent.
Well, thank you, sir. I have tested this headset extensively since we last spoke.
Did you find the ghost in the machine?
I took some very cogent advice from a lady whom I admire and respect, applied that treatment to my network, and everything came out just fine. So we're trying. I enjoyed that last conversation, by the way.
Ken's always a joy to talk to.
Yeah. How are you doing?
You know, I mean, I'm here. I can't complain. Not starving. Roof over my head. Not burning up in otherwise oppressive temperatures. It's a downright comfy 70 degrees here in the Horn Studio. So, you know, what would I piss and moan about?
We're sitting somewhere in the 90s up here, and everybody is bitching, moaning, and complaining. I've got lightning to the south of me, lightning to the north, and thunder. And I'm going, okay, I can put up with this for the 3 weeks of summer we have. So,
yeah, because it won't be long before it snows.
Yep.
Not really. I mean, all kidding aside, you're not going to get buried in snow till, like, you know, September, are you?
That's just bad press. We usually don't get snow that sticks on the ground until after U.S. Thanksgiving and middle to latter half of November. And we hardly ever get snow in May. So.
Well, that's not so terrible.
I know. I've been up here building character for a hell of a long time.
About 12 stories tall now, that character.
It is. Everywhere I go, got a friggin' trailer behind me, dragging all that excess character. But one of the annual or semi-annual chores that we have to do up here is I've got to make a call this week to have a motorcycle and small engine company nearby show up, pick up my snowblower, give it a tune-up, and in this case, replace the starter rope, and bring it back to me, and that's $125 every couple, 3 years, because you need a snowblower.
Well, yeah, unless you've got, like, you know, a 15-year-old with a shovel.
I can't remember the last time I saw anybody shoveling a driveway. We have one of the rituals in November up here. There must be equivalent rituals in the U.S., but around Ottawa in November, a whole bunch of guys show up in pickup trucks, and they go through the neighborhoods, and you put down stakes marking the edges of your driveway where it meets the sidewalk. And they sit about 5 feet high, and they're reflective. These things are to mark the location of the actual driveway so that the snow plow services, the private guys who come through with their four-wheel drive pickups with the plow on the front and sometimes tractors with a blower on the back, know where the edges of your driveway are. And those go up in November and they come down in May. And you look up and down the street and you see whole rows of these little reflective signs. And I'm one of the last holds out in our neighborhood because I don't care if it's 25 below. I'm out there in my mucklucks and my trapper cap, downfilled, mind you, blowing the snow off my driveway.
We've got to convert you to the holy order of Stormy Cromer.
I looked at Stormy last weekend, actually, a whole series of them. They were about $65, $70 up here, I think. And it wouldn't hold a candle to my downfilled trapper hat from Eddie Bauer.
Oh, I beg to differ.
It's an old one.
I've got the I think it's called the Rancher model of the Stormy. And it's lined with, it's not just the heavyweight wool with the thing with the pull down ear protection. It's also lined with Thinsulate. And I have broken a sweat wearing that hat in 10 below zero. It's warm. And just in case you want to make sure that you don't get plowed in the winter, it also comes in reflective blaze orange. Of course, then again, when we say get plowed, you and I think we're talking about something more closely akin to the fine products produced by the heirs and assigns of Reverend Craig.
Did you like that little photo I sent you earlier?
Oh, it was a lovely thing, you bastard. send me a photograph of a worked over bottle of Evan Williams 10-year-old single barrel. But single barrel reminds me of something, Ron. You know, we were talking about beef a little bit ago. You know, I think I've identified the next big thing. Although I don't know, maybe it's already a big thing. I just haven't seen it yet. You know, it started out single malt scotch. That's where it all got started. And from there we worked our way over to single barrel bourbon. I've got an idea.
Yep.
I've got an idea. And in a year or so when the hipsters are going out of their mind for this, I'll know that somebody somewhere was listening to this program. Single beef burger. Because one of the things, like if you go to the grocery store and, you know, the country of origin labeling isn't gone yet, it'll say, this package of hamburger contains beef from New Zealand, Argentina, United States, Canada, Mexico, and Australia.
Yep.
Because your hamburger, I mean, the industrial operations are so freaking disgusting and huge, kind of like what Ken was talking about with a cow standing up to its knees. Does a cow have knees? I presume a cow has knees.
They do.
Okay. You know, in its own filth, just waiting to be forklifted over into the great big pot of ground-up cow. We're moving rapidly toward vegetarianism here, I think, or driving people that way. So what would happen if the Whole Foods people can somehow get the Colorado? Let's make it Nebraska. The Nebraska Bureau of Prisons go into the beef business. Then they can probably get it done for, you know, 12 cents an hour. Single beef burgers. This hamburger was made from a single cow's meat. And the hipsters will go wild, at least the ones who, you know, are still eating meat.
How about an extension of that? We can rip it off from Coca-Cola. And this ground beef was brought to you courtesy of Maud. A Holstein or Billy, an Angus steer.
Oh, you mean like when you walk into Five Guys and they tell you where in the right wing hellscape that is Idaho your potatoes came from?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, yeah. See, that's part and parcel of the whole thing. It's going to be single burger beef, and then it's going to be signed by the rancher. And it's going to have a blank to tell you the name of the cow.
Yep, and the date of birth.
And the date of slaughter. Right. Yep. And the date of grinding. Don't forget the date of grinding.
You mean, that's where they pick up the salmonella, though. We might not want to put date of grinding on it.
Well, no. This is hipster beef that we're going to sell at Whole Foods for $29 a pound, okay? So there won't be any salmonella. Because just as is the case with, say, brain-eating amoeba or toxic chemicals in your water or fine particulates in the air you breathe. There ain't no salmonella in no Whole Foods beef because they're selling to the people who matter, not us hoi polloi.
You know, I hate to say it, Bob, but you're probably right. If I want to get sick, I'll shop at another grocery chain.
Yeah, I mean, I like the boy. I like the boys up here at the Wiggling Pig because, granted, they get their beef in from God knows where, but they grind the hamburger, and I know how meticulous they are back there in their meat section. I would not buy. I don't understand people who buy frozen, industrially produced hamburger patties. Honest to Jesus, I don't.
You mean like a Sam's Club or
yeah,
Walmart?
Yeah, well, Sam's, Walmart, Kroger sells them. I'm sure Wiggling Pig sells them. But if I've got a meat department back there where they're grinding it themselves, and, you know, I see him putting the meat out and stuff, and, you know, and his hands, I mean, there's never even a hint of grime under his fingernails or anything. This is a clean operation.
And we've got a chain in Ontario called Farm Boy. And my wife picks up burgers and meat there and fish, exceedingly fresh. But they put out some ground burgers. It'll be like a fresh ground package of two burgers or four burgers, stuffed with different kinds of cheese and garlics, you name it.
Oh, food porn!
And these things are just exceptional. They sit on a grill. They're an inch and a half thick when you put them on. And you got to watch them with an eagle eye because there's so much oozing from the burger while you cook it that you got to flip it about every 15 seconds and move it to a different spot on the grill. And when they put them on a fresh-baked bun from a place in town here called Artisan Bakery, they are just, oh, to die for. I don't think I've ever had a burger in a restaurant that was as good.
Well, I tell you,
your favorite and my favorite in beautiful downtown Fayetteville, Farm Boy Burgers on a fresh bun, oh, mm.
Well, I tell you what, I had an errand I had to run over to the Secret Sandwich Society in Fayetteville, and I'm happy to give them a free plug. If you're passing through Fayetteville, by all means.
Oh, for God's sakes, people, stop. Drive 50 miles out of your way to find this place. It is just superb.
And I usually go for the sandwiches, but they've got a selection of burgers, and I decided to get out of my rut, and I had one of their burgers the other day. I had the Renegade. Now, that is a burger with sliced cherry peppers, homemade garlic mayo, melted provolone on a brioche bun, and it was mind-bogglingly good. Oh, I can't stop that because, you know, burgers are just, you know, generally these Wendy's, McClown burger thing. They're these sad, awful-looking gray discs of maybe meat. And there's nothing inspiring about them. But, my God, this thing was just roaring with flavor. And mortadella. There's mortadella on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, it was good. Now, something you haven't experienced down the street, there's a little place called Gumbo's, and they work more the Cajun side of the street. But they feature burgers made with West Virginia-grown, grass-fed, hormone-free beef. And that's about one step away from single beef burger.
Yep, yeah.
And they're exquisite. And, I can get really worked up about a hamburger. Now, to my mind, and people have heard me say this before, the best hamburger I've ever experienced in my life comes from a little place that's only open for a short time every day down in East Florence, Alabama. And it's called Staggs's Grocery. And I don't know what the magic is, but it's magic. It tastes like a hamburger should taste to me. And, you know, they, and again, it, part of the magic is that they're making the patties themselves. And they grill them there, and they toast the buns in the hamburger grease, and whoa! My arteries thank me every time I, it, you know, I'd probably be
well,
dead.
If I was
living down there, I'd be dead 5 years ago.
Well, it's not that long ago, Bob, that we would not have been saying much, if anything, complimentary at all about Fayetteville if it was mentioned. It was because it was close to Oak Hill where Hank Williams died.
Right. Well, I mean, we don't even know, and you know, that's Oak Hill's claim to fame. But we don't even know that Hank Williams died in Oak Hill, Ron. We know that his driver pulled over to get directions in Oak Hill and found Hank dead in the back. Because what?
Any claim to fame, you know?
Well, sure. And of course, in classic, in a hurry to make a tourist buck fashion, when they originally put it up, you know, there's a little sign on the road now on US 19 that says Hank Williams Memorial Highway. But of course, that highway didn't exist when Hank did. But when they first put it up, I guess. Because of whoever's in charge of the sign printing or whatever, wherever they do it, it went up as, and it came down pretty damn quick because there are enough people around here who noticed it and went, you dumbasses. The first sign that went up said Hank Williams Jr. Memorial Highway.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're there. Hank Williams Jr. Memorial Highway.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe I needed a snare drum for that.
Oh, I would have caught that.
It's stupid. Right.
Only on Monday nights, you understand.
I do. I understand completely. Well, I have to tell you the magic is working and the headset sounds magnificent.
Okay. Well, that's really why I called. So I will. Once again, we've had another Seinfeld conversation, covered a lot of bases, and didn't say much about anything.
Oh, I think we covered more ground than you know.
Well, you always say that, and I'm still going to keep calling in regardless.
I understand. And you had the common decency not to say irregardless, because that would have sent me screaming into the night. And
hate.
And the, you know, the other side of it is it's, you know, whether there's content here is not for you or me to judge, Ron. It's for the people downloading the podcast or listening live.
Yep.
And by the way, I want to thank, in addition to Sharon and Jan and Jerry and Kim, I want to thank Cynthia and thank the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan. We've reached our fundraising goal for the evening. So thank you very, very kindly.
Okay. I would like to pass on my best wishes to my foxy sister in beautiful downtown Frankfurt.
Yes.
And I would also like to encourage anyone who's driving through West Virginia, whether they're heading north-south through the center of the state or east-west on I-64, drive out of your way to Fayetteville and check out the Secret Sandwich Society.
Absolutely.
It's worth the stop, folks.
And let me know, and I'll sit down and have lunch with you.
There you go, folks. What could you want?
Right, and find time. Make sure you've got time so that you can. They've got a beautiful selection of craft brews.
Ooh, yeah, I know.
And now it's the credit where it's due. The one sane thing that this goofball, crazy, crazier than a sprayed roach Republican legislature did is they managed to get a bill through that allows the filling and sale of the sale and filling of growlers.
Whoa.
So now those wonderful craft brews that they have there at Secret Sandwich Society, you can, and in fact I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page, you can get it filled up with, get your growler filled up and, you know, take it home and enjoy it at your leisure. And the growlers are awesome. They're stainless steel.
What size?
They come in quarts and half gallons.
Oh.
I think
decidedly liberal for a Republican legislature.
Yeah, okay, but they did get one part of it stupid, Ron. I mean, we're talking about Republicans after all. So guess what? You can't have put now because they've got among the many things that they have on tap, they have some brilliant ciders. It is illegal to put cider in a growler.
No.
Because cider is classified by the Republicans as a wine.
And Lord knows we would not want citizens drinking wine.
Well, you can't be running around selling loose wine by the quart or the half gallon.
Well, everybody knows that wine drinkers are liberals. You know that. I know that.
Well, yeah. But I suspect it has something more to do with alcohol content, except for the fact that the cider is maybe 5.5%. And they sell some high-gravity beers there. They've got a Harpoon. From time to time, they bring in Leviathan by Harpoon. And that crap's 12% alcohol. That's the beer that turned Agnes into a hophead.
Yeah, but see, beer drinkers drive pickup trucks and vote conservative. And standard rule of thumb. Gun racks in the back and all that. Those wine drinkers eat little petit four sandwiches with toothpicks in the middle, and they all vote liberal.
And they buy fetus body parts from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, for $35 a pop, yeah. That's the way to build a business.
Shame on me. Hey, Ron, you have a good evening, brother.
You have a good evening, too, sir. You take care.
Bye now. Ron is most sincere in his endorsement of the Secret Sandwich Society, as am I. There's a whole funky little restaurant culture going there in Fayetteville, and it's a lot of fun. Hey, let's check in with Will in Chicago. I haven't talked to Will in a while. Hey, Will.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good, I think. How about you?
Good, good. Busy job hunting the joy of a teacher in the summer months, hoping for something, and hoping that things go well so I can do something which I hope some people will do tonight, which is contribute to the horn, because unlike some other places, Bob doesn't have corporate backers. On the other hand, we don't have to worry about him being cast out to be replaced by Chuck Toad or other strange creatures.
The best I've seen lately, somebody referred to him as Joke Toad.
Yes, well, my reaction on MSNBC is not happy with who they have on at 5 p.m. East, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. Turn to the horn. And it's important that our independent voices are supported because, sadly, there's a lot of money going into things. I'm sure you saw the story this weekend that two fracking billionaire brothers gave Ted Cruz $15 million.
Jesus.
What could you and the ACAC do if someone said, "Hi, Mr. Kincaid, I'm giving the ACAC $15 million. Oh, and by the way, here's $1 million for you and the horn."
Yeah, you're right. Oh, no, $15 million, we could end mountaintop removal, period.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
We could probably do it with five.
Yeah, easily you could see a lot of progress. But even though there has been a lot of despair in the headlines of late, Sandra Bland especially, where this case is suspicious, there is cause for hope. For one thing, the Iran deal, which I support because based on my reading of experts in the field and in the press, and there was a good article some weeks back by J.J. Goldberg in the Forward saying it's probably the best deal anyone can get, and instead of complaining about it, Netanyahu ought to take credit for keeping up the pressure so that everyone decided, okay, we want to cut a deal just in case the Mr. Lack of Charisma decides he's going to take military action, which brings us to my nomination for moron of the day and the week, Mike Huckabee, whose name was.
I was gonna take you there, Will, because you're Jewish and I'm not.
Yes,
and so I can manifest outrage, I'm a believer in never again.
I will manifest outrage that will make Sodom and Gomorrah look mild. And by the way, the sins of that, according to Ezekiel, were laziness, ill at ease, and not helping the poor.
Inhospitable.
That reminds me, and of course, threatening violence to visitors. Sounds like some communities we have. But I know a woman who, at my synagogue, who is a Holocaust survivor. My hope is that this woman, who is in her late 80s, early 90s, did not hear Mike Huckabee's remarks that the president is pushing Israel into the ovens. Because she survived the death camps. I believe it was Bergen-Belsen. She has actually written about it. She's still alive and alert. And essentially what Mike Huckabee did was dance on the graves of everyone who died in the Shoah, regardless of their background, and dance across the hearts of those who know people who have been there, who were there, or who have family.
Yeah, whose family died there?
Yes, this is kind of like what he did would be the equivalent of going up to your father's grave or your grandfather's grave, dancing on it, taking a dump, urinating, and then pleasuring himself. Because essentially Mike Huckabee is all about getting elected, and I would argue that the right-wing parties in any country tend to have a lot in common, that they all offer security and prosperity, but really don't deliver security and seem to only deliver prosperity to a few.
Well, and the few that they deserve, they deem to be deserving. Let me just offer one observation based on what you said, and I'm so sorry that we're running out of time, Will. But you're absolutely right. But let me add that there's a certain cultural observation to be made out of this. The only way that Mike Huckabee can say that filthy, odious, disgusting thing that he said is because Donald Trump made it possible for him to do it. Because now the GOP's the GOP hopefuls are engaged in a relentless downward spiral of scummy behavior in which they are now forced, in order to get coverage by the for-profit media, to out-scum each other.
Right. Well, here's a thought, since we're near the end. Think back, as a student of history, to what you know of these two men, Dwight Eisenhower and General Patton. What if they either were alive, can you imagine what they would say about, well, Eisenhower about his party, but about this remark in particular? They would be furious. There was a room. There were rooms that Patton, the macho guy whom Lindsey Graham desperately wants to be, couldn't bring himself into. And Eisenhower would probably have been utterly disgusted at the thought of what his party has become. He actually wrote a letter warning, there's only a few Texas oil billionaires and a few nutcases elsewhere who want these policies, such as repealing Social Security, and that, Lord willing, they won't succeed. Mr. Eisenhower, your party has gone so far off the deep end that you would not recognize it. But let's remember we have hope and we can still make change in this world, and if you have a little change in your pockets, I think Bob could use it.
Thanks, Will. Have a good evening, and I hope our next conversation is of greater length.
I'll try.
All right.
See you soon.
Take care. Bye now. Our buddy Will in Chicago handling Mike Huckabee far better than ever I could have. It was so bad that Mika Brzezinski broke down on the air. She was so disgusted this morning. And that says something. There's also something else to say, and that is it's time to get out of here. Thanks again to everyone who helped us make it to this point in terms of our fundraising, and thanks for you spending your precious finite time with us in this conversation. This really is a community that you have created. Dr. Bill at 1:30 Eastern tomorrow, and then Thorn in the Side, no, what am I thinking, Titanic Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, and Rick Smith in between. Y'all have a good evening. But always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.